Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're back with what was originally going to be our first half of our 2014 recap. But, of course, we're jinxed, right?
We're totally jinxed.
We are jinxed. Due to a technical glitch, I have no idea what happened. But the file that we recorded for the first half, which is now this one we're recording now, the file just blanked out. All the audio went away. It was just a blank
file. And it
file.
Was gold.
It was our best episode
like,
yet.
Seriously, Adrian, like, all of a sudden, loved the Hobbit movie.
That's right.
Professed his love for Big Hero 6.
Oh, man. And now I can't ever go back to that.
I know. It was gold.
It was nice. So to clear up any confusion, this is originally our first half of our 2014 recap. We're going to talk about our bottom five movies we watched in 2014.
Let's be honest. The second half show was a clusterfuck.
It was.
That was also screwed up, too.
Yeah.
And Adrian is a champ. Yeah. You guys don't even know.
Oh, yeah. So our audio for that one did save, but for some reason, Bill's audio was way lower than usual, so I had to learn on the spot how to fix his audio because it was so quiet, it sounded so muffled, and I think I figured out what happened, but it was too late for that. We already had this episode locked in. We felt great about it, but there were times when you could barely hear Bill, so I had to fix that.
And seeing how my list was the definitive list that everybody should go by, you gotta hear me.
Oh, that's right.
I'm a dick.
Can't miss out on the definitive list. So anyway, that's a little explanation of what's happening with this. We seem to be doomed with our recap shows, because that's what we started out with last year. We had some mess ups there, but
we had some weird shows. We had one show where there was like static, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're jinxed.
I think so. Yeah,
we just did a little test for like 5 minutes to see if it would work, and everything seems cool, so hopefully this is good.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So I guess we'll start off with our usual format. We have a little bit of an intro where we talk about some non-movie stuff. We'll get into the rant, which we're shortening now, like in terms of just the name. We're just calling it the rant. It used to be the 60-second rant, but of course, if you have ever listened to us before, you know darn well that our rant usually goes for much longer than 60 seconds.
Yep.
Then we'll talk about our bottom five picks of 2014, and we'll lightning review some recent movies. And then we'll talk about movies that are coming up, some stuff that's playing locally, and we'll close out the show. So what have you been up to since, I guess, Christmas?
Christmas was pretty... Absolutely nothing happened on Christmas. I went and saw movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Nice.
I'm not really that big into Christmas. I'm really not. So I went and saw some movies, and my Christmas dinner was some chicken strips and fries with extra gravy.
Nice.
It was tasty.
That was from
Silver City in Victoria.
Silver City, yeah. Represent.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I was going to get a little festive and get some like yam fries or something like that, but no. I'm good.
Yeah, no need for that.
And New Year's, I went to a party, but I'm not drinking. I felt really weird, so I took off pretty quick. Shot a bow and arrow. That was pretty cool.
Right on.
Other than that, yeah. How was yours?
Christmas is dead to me now. My little nieces and nephews, we gave them their gifts, and they just kind of went meh, and didn't even express any kind of excitement of any kind. So. Moving on, I'll be donating gifts to needy families who would appreciate it more.
This card says that I have donated $50 to the SBCA for you instead of giving you a gift because you're a rotten shit.
Yeah, maybe I'll paraphrase it a little bit, but yeah. And New Year's, I guess on Christmas, though, the nice thing is that Sarah did make turkey dinner. It's her third attempt, and each one has been fantastic and better than the last. So we had a nice nice Christmas dinner with Sarah and my parents, and it turned out really nice.
Should have got Kyle to do a fucking smoked turkey or something.
That would have been pretty sweet.
That was beast, man.
Yeah, he was in Alberta at the time, though.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Otherwise, New Year's pretty low key. We always just stay in and watch the King 5 News channel.
Nice.
Live at the Space Needle show. And we have like literally one drink and call it a night.
I didn't have one drink on New Year's.
Oh, no?
No.
Otherwise, not a lot going on. Liverpool and Canucks, I'm kind of whatever on both teams. Like, they're both sort of middle of the pack kind of performing.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, man. They got screwed over, man.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
It's a stupid rule. Dude, like,
how come every game in the playoffs had some kind of stupid like penalty or was it a catch?
Yeah.
So, yeah, my Green Bay Packers took out Adrian's Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of controversy.
A little bit. It's a dumb rule.
But the previous week, there was some controversy in the Dallas-Detroit game. And then it didn't matter because my Packers went on and just absolutely destroyed me and every Green Bay Packer fan by blowing a lead that should have been – it should have been over.
Should have been, yeah.
And they still found a way to lose.
Yeah.
In overtime.
Yeah, that was brutal.
I still can't even. I can't even talk about it. It hurts so bad.
Yeah,
sucked.
Yeah, it's brutal, man.
Yeah,
that sucks.
It must have felt like when the Vancouver Canucks blew a 3-1 lead against Boston.
Oh, that was heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, I don't. If I was a Canuck fan, I don't think I could have watched hockey next year.
Yeah, no, it's been tough. That's a big part of why I've been. Well, the biggest reason I've stepped away from hockey is because of the lockout. I haven't watched hockey since, and yeah, that's, you know, I say fuck you to the NHL and to the Players Association for that. They knew their contract was coming up and they knew they had some things to deal with, but the fans paid the price. And but look, the fans are back. Everybody's forgotten all about it, just like last time.
Yeah, my Red Wings are doing pretty good.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool.
I got a PS4.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What have you been playing?
Last of Us. And I really need a... If anybody knows how to get infinite ammo in that game, hit me up.
It's brutal.
I need some goddamn ammo in that game. I am not good at fighting. They always seem to get the first shot in, and I get knocked against a wall, and I get, like, pummeled. And yeah. Infinite ammo cheat. Really need it.
Yeah.
It's... Awesome game, though.
Yeah, it is wicked. I have a copy on PS4. Sarah wanted to play it, but she hasn't played it yet, so it's gone untouched.
So good.
Right on.
Really loving it.
Right on.
Other than that, I have NHL 15 or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm terrible at it. I played two games and lost both games to like 24-0 or something like that.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got Little Big Planet 3, which is really bad.
I've heard that. That's too bad.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, finally. I am next gen.
Nice. Congrats, man. Congrats. I had one thing to add. I got a new job.
Yeah.
I applied for an internal posting at my work. It's a lateral movement. It's not officially a promotion, but I'll be learning a lot of new skills, building my resume. Just I'll add a lot of stuff that'll look good on a resume, and it'll prepare me for bigger and better things down the road. So, and more importantly, it's a Monday to Friday job, and I'll be finished every day by like 3:30 or 4, so I can go to movies any night I want, pretty much.
Dude, I wish I had that job.
Yeah, it's a sweet gig, man.
Other than one day a week, I work till 10 every night.
Oh, that's brutal, so dude. It's,
I miss every movie during the week. I'm jealous.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's me. That's the latest my professional life. And it comes at a perfect time because, you know, I work an IT service desk and basically spend all my days training people on how to use their new Macs or the new Windows 8 machine. And
it was driving you nuts.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, you can only reset passwords for so long before you start to lose your mind. And a service desk job, help desk job, you're really only supposed to be in that role for a few years. But I was going on 9, past 9.
That sucks.
That's a long haul, man. So, I'm ready for change.
Congrats, man.
Thanks, dude. I guess, is that it? Do you have anything else?
End of February in Vancouver at the Pacific Cinematheque. Adrian and I are going to a 24-hour movie marathon I think this might be your first time ever attempting this.
Yeah, I've never been to one before. Yeah. I'm really excited.
I've been to one at Cinematheque before, and I really loved it. Tell you the truth, I think we're going to record little blurbs throughout the marathon,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of curious how bad we're going to sound at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
I think we'll progressively get worse as the day goes.
But I'm weird. I don't sleep at all, so I don't have a problem doing it. Like I stayed up last night until like 6 a.m. and went to work at 7.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so it's not a big deal, but I'm kind of curious how you're going to feel about 2 a.m. when you're trying to concentrate watching movies.
It's going to be fun. It's funny you mention that because 2 nights ago, I was up for 24 hours straight. And I wonder if it was subconsciously me getting prepared because I woke up at about 5 o'clock that morning. And I stayed up till, I think it was 6. Yeah, it was 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I was up for 25 hours.
Dude, I remember us traveling to Austin. You were up for, I don't know, probably a good 2 days straight, pretty much.
Yeah, I calculated around 36 hours. Yeah. That was brutal.
And you look like you were feeling it pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I was driving. And
yeah.
That was stressful. But hey.
Hey, this year we got to figure out a better way to do that.
Yeah.
I think we should try to fly to Vancouver.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
For our sanity.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it for me, man.
Right on. I guess we should get into some rant action. Do you want to start first?
Yeah, why not?
Cool.
My rant this time is about people on social media talking about the Oscars and certain films like they're their favorite sports teams.
Oh, right.
It really drives me nuts. Like, how dare you say something bad about Boyhood?
Yeah.
Well, they're not the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan doesn't play for them. You don't love them like you like a sports team, but you sure as hell talk like you do. Like, ooh, oh my God, you like the theory of everything? Ooh, I like Boyhood. You're only allowed to like Boyhood. Shut up.
That's so true,
man. I hate people talking about the Oscars, but this has really pissed me off. I think your rant has something to do with this too.
It does.
So
it's directly tied in.
So I think I'm pretty much going to stop here and to say that, you know, everybody stop taking this so bloody seriously. And I'll let Adrian take over because I think he's we're on the same wavelength.
Cool. Yeah, I agree, man. It's Oscar talk and Golden Globes and all that bullshit. It's all just advertising. It's all marketing. Whichever producers have the most amount of money, most amount of pull in Hollywood, will get their stuff nominated. Take a look at Jennifer Aniston and Cake. Didn't they get nominated for the Golden Globes? Like, you can pretty much buy anything at the Golden Globes.
I didn't watch the show. I only saw Wes Anderson's speech on YouTube later that night.
Oh, I see.
Wes Anderson's speech at the Golden Globes was genius.
Oh, I didn't see it yet.
So good.
Right on.
Yeah.
Anyway, my rant is that I'm taking a break from Twitter. I've been off Twitter for about 5 or 6 days so far, and it feels great. I'm just sick of the awards talk. I'm sick of mostly just being ignored. You know, I don't really fit in a clique on Twitter. You know, I get along with a whole bunch of people. Been to many festivals, both local and Austin and everything. You know, I'll post a review. I'll post interviews. I'll post like really deep personal thoughts on movies. I'll even initiate that kind of thing with people. Like, hey, I read your review. Here's what I think. And I'll get nothing. Even when I pay somebody a compliment, I don't even get a, hey, thanks for reading. Or, oh, cool. Thanks. I agree with that or disagree with that. It's just such a weird place.
I apologize if I've ever done that, but I just don't talk on Twitter.
Yeah. Bill posts his reviews and he posts sports scores and
that's about it.
Votes for his men of the game during Man U games.
I do that.
Yeah.
It's usually David De Gea.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not only in it for the retweets, favorites, and all that crap. But
a little recognition goes
A little recognition once in a while would be cool. It goes a lot deeper than that. It has to do with personal stuff. Like, I talked about my new job I was getting. I talked about it all week. And then I was like, I got the job. And one person acknowledged that on Twitter. I was just like, wow, you know, it's the best job I've ever had in my life. And only one person commented on it. I was just kind of, I was like, well, that's Twitter, man. It's a lonely place.
Oh, my God. Birdman beat Boyhood at the PGAs and the DGAs last night. Oh. So, oh, my God. There's all of a sudden there's an Oscar race and Birdman's, no, fuck you. Shut up.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Yeah. And if films and actors and directors and producers have to campaign for an award, I'm sorry, but there is a serious flaw in the system.
And if you need a film to win an award to watch it, fuck you too.
Yeah, big fuck you to people who wait to see what gets nominated and then be like, oh, well, I guess I better watch Birdman. Well, you're a piece of shit. Rant over.
Do you get how we really feel?
Yeah, fuck the Oscars. Fuck the Golden Globes. Fuck every single awards person out there. Anybody who's ever written a preview, their guesses at what's going to be nominated and their guesses at what's going to be winning, find something useful to do with your life, because that shit is useless.
It's very tired.
And all you're doing is just feeding the machine, you know? Like, I got an email from Cineplex saying, hey, you get double the scene points when you rent or buy an Oscar-nominated film. It's like, well, there you fucking go, man. It's just a marketing thing, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we'll beat that dead horse again in February or March.
Fuck the Oscars part two.
Fuck the Oscars part two. I cannot wait.
We are not subtle.
That's right.
God, we are not subtle.
That's right. So, now that we're nice and wound up, are you ready to talk about our bottom five films of 2014?
I remember it being pretty heated on the last Lost show, too. So.
Oh, dude. Things got...
I swore a lot.
It got real up in here, man.
Yeah.
It was like one of those Chappelle shows when it's like, keeping it real goes wrong.
With our pick in the racial draft... We pick the Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang! I love the Chappelle Show.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I think with your number one, if I can, I won't spoil it, but your number one pick for bottom five, I think will qualify for Chappelle's Player Haters show.
I think I might explain that one a little better this time.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. So are we ready to get into it?
Sure.
I'll go first this time.
Number five.
Number five. Into the Storm. The really crappy tornado movie that looked like it was produced by a sci-fi production company.
It's got Thorin Oakenshield in it.
Thorin Oakenshield's in it?
Thorin Oakenshield.
Yep. Showcasing the acting chops that got him the role in The Hobbit. Stupid characters, stupid movie. Has one really cool, awesome special effects moment that was just a really badass kill. It made me laugh really hard. But overall, just
fire tornadoes.
Yeah, fire tornado.
Shout out to Zach Mosley for proving that shit to be real.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. That was cool. Yeah. You linked us to footage of actual fire tornadoes. So that was cool. Into the Storm. Hated the movie. That was part of a really crappy double bill. What did we watch before that?
Was that the day we also saw Step Up?
It may have been, yeah. Oh, Step that Up. That was a rough night, dude.
Not good.
Yeah, so Into the Storm is my number five.
Number five for me is a festival film that hopefully nobody will ever get to see. And there's a reason. Because it's fucking awful. My number five choice is the Fantastic Fest Shit Fest, The Hive.
Oh, that movie was brutal.
Made by one of James Gunn's friends. James Gunn directed Guardians of the Galaxy. A really damn good film. So he got one of his buddies a job, I guess. And he was a music director. And he made a film. And I really can't tell you what it's about. It just made no sense. It looked like shit because the DCP broke. And we watched a really crappy Blu-ray. People at Fantastic Fest glazed over this film. Like, oh, it's not that bad. Yeah, it is. It is that bad.
If James Gunn wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you weren't like just spooging all over James Gunn, you would be just as hateful as I am towards this film. And I know you hated it too.
Oh, it was bad. I actually forgot about the movie. Otherwise, it would have showed up on my list. Really high on the list. It was such garbage.
Yeah.
for a movie that has so much exposition, I still can't really tell you much about what happens in the film. I've forgotten. I
can't really tell you either because I didn't get it.
Yeah.
It was just there and nothing happened and it looked really terrible. It's so funny too because we were at Fantastic Fest and everything we watched was really good except for like two or three films. And those two or three films were awful.
Yeah, just garbage.
There was that one and there was a couple of really just terrible slasher films.
Yeah.
I know people like slasher films, but these were crappy slasher
films. Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever, it's never coming out.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a thing about it since and there's a reason.
Because it sucks.
It sucks. Number five, The Hive.
Cool.
Yeah.
My number four pick, Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For. Oh, wait, I forgot the Frank Miller at the beginning. Whatever. It's got to be one of the worst title movies of 2014.
Anybody who puts, it's like a Spike Lee joint, Do the Right Thing. Yeah. I love Do the Right Thing, but you pretentious prick.
That had to be the birth of that kind of thing.
Oh, right? Totally.
Yeah. But yeah, Sin City 2, Robert Rodriguez at his most lazy level of filmmaking. A story we didn't need to be told, a franchise we did not have to revisit. Characters were, you know, the Clive Owen character was played by, who was it?
Who cares?
Somebody else.
Who cares?
It was a terrible movie.
And didn't Marv die in the first film?
Marv died in the first film. Then he's back. And you're like,
the second film?
And you're, wait, well, you're going, like, what? Is this a prequel? What's going on? It's called Sin City 2. Ah, fuck, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't like this one either, but you know what? I thought Eva Green was kind of fun in it.
Yeah, she has some fun, and she has some boobs. And
That's good, too. But she's always, like, good in really crappy films, like that 300 film.
300 Rise of an Empire.
She was really good in that film.
She was great. She was the best part. The
movie was awful, but she was having a lot of fun in that film.
Yeah. She makes a hell of a villain in that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sin City 2, just the visuals. We've been there, done that so many times. I was so bored and disengaged from this film. Had no hook at all. Not even Eva Green's boobs could keep me interested. So that's why Sin City 2 is my number 4.
Not on my list, but a very terrible film.
Yeah.
Number 4, Angry Video Game Nerd the Movie.
No, I skipped this because you mentioned it.
Yeah, Angry Video Game Nerd is a internet review site on like YouTube and stuff like that. He reviews old like Nintendo games and ColecoVision and television and all those really old systems. He's kind of funny. He like shits all over these games because they're terrible. Then he thought he could make a movie. And I don't understand that. Like, you have no basis to make a movie other than the fact that you're on YouTube. And it's awful. It's all about him not wanting to review the Atari game E.T.
Oh, really?
And you know about E.T.? Like, it was so bad they took all the copies and buried them in a desert in Arizona.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, that's right.
Well, they decided they're going to go and find the E.T. burial ground.
Nice.
So they can review the game.
Yeah.
It sucked. I hated this movie.
No way.
Yeah. Which is really funny because it's only my number 4 film. I really hated this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must speak volumes about your remaining films.
Yes.
All right. We're ready to move on?
Yeah.
My number 3, which I think you kind of enjoyed some of it, Brick Mansions, the movie that should have been straight to DVD, VOD, but was released because Paul Walker died. What's that guy's name again?
That sounds so cruel, too, but it is really true.
It is.
And this movie totally proved that Paul Walker could never open a film unless it had Cars.
Vin Diesel or The Rock in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, what a disappointment.
David Bell is awesome.
Yeah, he does some pretty cool stunts. He has some cool action going for him. But I was just so uninterested in what was going on. And I think we talked a lot about it when we reviewed the film.
Yeah. Part of me hopes that if the Razzies, the, you know, worst films of the entire year has, like, nominations, that the RZA gets, like, Best Supporting Actor or Worst Supporting Actor or whatever nomination, because it's just him quoting Wu-Tang songs.
Yeah, and thinking he's cool about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, I think probably 15 years ago, I would have been totally into that. Like, I would have been like, oh man, he just quoted that song I love. But it's like, no, it's by now it's like, yeah, dude, that track's 20 years old and I still love it, still listen to it, but he's kind of just crapping all over the legacy they've built.
If it had been Ghostface Killa, I would have been all over it, but not,
oh, yeah.
Not the RZA.
Yeah. Yeah, the RZA, they're trying really hard to make the RZA happen, but I really hope he goes away because I'm not into it at all.
I actually thought this one might be higher on your list.
Oh, no.
Because I know you hated that film.
I did. I hated it. Yeah. But there are two more that I hated more. So.
Yeah. My number three is a Film Fest film that nobody's ever going to see also called Songs She Wrote for People She Knows. It's a musical.
Yeah, and it's a shitty one.
And you know, 5 seconds into the film that it's a terrible musical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's my number two pick, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
And my podcast resolution for 2015 is I'm going to try to be nicer to Canadian film. But fuck it, I saw this in 2014, and it sucks.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really can leave themselves open for us to crap all over their films. But when you make a bad one, we're going to talk about it.
This woman, instead of, like, you know, saying her true feelings to her friends or writing them a note saying, I'm sorry, and all this stuff, decides she's going to, as a form of therapy, sing her feelings to her friends, but they're never good feelings. It's always about how she wants to kill them or rape them. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah.
But it's terrible. As I said, within 5 seconds, I was just like, get me out of here.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched it, and I felt really bad that I watched it because everybody who worked on that film was at the screening, and the director was there, and everybody was there. And everybody in our crew hated it.
Oh, yeah. We crapped on it pretty bad.
That was one of my favorite things about the Vancouver Film Festival was after that screening where like 5 of us were there just shitting on that film.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was fun. It was therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah, we watched the film, man. We should be able to say whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, and that's one thing I mentioned previously, but I forgot to mention it on this recording. Some people say, don't talk about the worst films. Don't write a worst films list. But the thing is, we're spending a lot of money to see these movies. And when they turn out to be really bad, we should be able to say that. Like, what's the point of film criticism if we only talk about what we love or like? If we can't talk about the ones we hate or dislike, then what's the point of all this?
That's why they're Oscar winners.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that movie...
Number two for you.
My number two, just, man, and they were bragging at the screening about how it was shot on 35mm, and they're going to come out with a soundtrack, and I'm just like, oh, what a waste of 35mm film.
So you're a total indie film that probably has no budget at all, and you know that shooting digital is probably going to cut your budget in half.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it. We'll shoot on 35.
Yeah.
You're idiots.
Oh, yeah.
Because it didn't look any better.
Yeah,
your DP isn't Robert Elswit, and you're not Paul Thomas Anderson. So stop trying to be.
Yeah, yeah, it was a mess of a film. Just no characters to get interested in. The lead character, she was really miscast. I think she was supposed to be funny, but she wasn't. Her deadpan delivery did not work. It was supposed to be deadpan, but it takes a special kind of person to deliver that as comedy, and it just didn't work here.
I think the first line of the film is her singing the words, "You're an asshole, Dave."
Yeah, yeah, right off the bat, just turn off your audience.
Yeah.
And, oh, wait, it's supposed to be funny, right?
No.
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
So that's my number two. So you can do to your number one, I guess.
No, my number two
is
the worst film of the Whistler Film Festival.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in New York.
And I totally forgot about it.
I know.
That sucks.
Adrian didn't do much prep. He forgot a couple films.
Whatever.
Whatever. I'll say enough bad about it.
Yeah, and I'll chip in.
My number one film is a competently made film. Whereas this film, everything you possibly think could go wrong with making a film, it pretty much happens in this film. It's poorly shot. It's poorly edited. It's poorly acted. Their whole idea is that, well, we shot the film with two people, so maybe we should be able to get away with, like, everything being out of focus or the sound not, like, meshing up with the mouths. It's just stupid stuff like that. And they think it's, like, a badge of honor or something. But, you know, phone your cousin.
Yeah.
Or your coworker to hold a boom mic.
Yeah.
Or watch the film afterwards and say, oh, by the way, that's out of sync.
Yeah.
Or dude, why every time you move the camera, it goes out of focus?
Like, yeah.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, the DP, I don't think it's ever handled a camera before in its life.
No, has no idea how to shoot a film.
Yeah. Each shot starts out of focus, and then they focus, and then it goes out of focus, and then they cut to another shot, and they repeat that every 3 seconds. The quick cuts are their way of compensating for the small crew, saying, hey, we did this with 2 or 3 person crew, and look at all these shots we got with, you know, it's a conversation between two people. It takes about 5 minutes, and they quite literally have, what, 60 cuts in there?
Yeah.
Minimum. I'm not even exaggerating, about 60 cuts in a 5 minute conversation. And it's all supposed to be so they can say, look at what we did with this small crew. And it's terrible.
And a woman has a one night stand that goes bad. And then a year later, her boyfriend, who she just met, gets a roommate, and it's the guy she had the one night stand with.
Dun, dun, dun.
Man, that's some deep shit right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And she's mad for some reason.
That's, and like, she's like the worst actress you've ever seen.
Oh, they're all terrible.
Everybody in the film is terrible.
The boyfriend, he's in a movie on his own. Like.
Oh, and by the way, the director loves us. He follows us on Twitter. People just seem to gravitate towards Adrian.
I think so.
When we shit on a film, people like to follow Adrian.
Yeah, yeah. I complain about not receiving feedback on my film reviews. Two pieces of feedback I received on reviews I wrote last year were from filmmakers, and I think that's the only feedback I received in all of my reviews. So.
Spoiler alert, they didn't like Adrian.
Yeah, one called me a genius, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
One called me a god, so I guess that's complimentary. That was the documentary nerd.
Nice.
He's like, you think you're a god because you're a film critic. And the other one called me a genius, so yeah. Yeah, Elsewhere in New York is garbage. Well, garbage.
I'm not blind, and your film blows.
Yeah.
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 Fuck that film.
Yeah.
Number two, Elsewhere in New York. Stay the hell away from it. It's so funny. We were at the Whistler Film Festival, and we saw that really early in the festival. It was like our first or second film. We saw a press screening of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we warned somebody not to see it. And then they were like, oh, God, that movie was terrible.
Yeah, he came up and he approached you later. He was like, dude, you were right.
That movie was terrible. And I'm like, yep. Ugh, fuck that film.
Yeah, fuck that film. My number one is also a Whistler film. Relative Happiness, an absolute dog shit of a movie. Directed, I believe, written also by a woman, about a woman that sets women back about 40 or 50
years.
The
hell you say? I've seen this film. There's no way that's possible.
Yeah.
But I think it is.
Yeah, it's... I really don't know what they're going for in this film. Well, I'll tell you what I think they're going for. This woman she's a heavy, overweight woman. Her weight is played as the butt end of the joke. I think they're going for... the Canadian version of Melissa McCarthy, but this woman doesn't have one lick of comedic talent. Same with the director. The opening of the film starts out with her trying to put on a bridesmaid's dress that's about 2 or 3 sizes too small for her, and it's supposed to be funny.
Oh, come on, that's funny.
Oh, it was so dumb. Like, right off the bat, and she was like, and then we later find out she lied about her size, and it's like, well, why would you lie about that? Like, you're going to have to try it on in front of your sister and her bridesmaids, and it's going to be embarrassing. Anyway, it's a terrible movie. It's absolute garbage, terrible performances. There's one performance I kind of enjoyed, and it was just a small character who was kind of a background actor the whole time. So,
bah.
Tons of miscast characters in this one. This one is shit.
Don't worry. Nobody's ever going to see it.
Yeah, it'll never open anywhere. No. It may play on Movie Central one day, and then you can skip it then. It's terrible.
Hopefully they have a little quote from Adrian Charlie on their like review thing. It says, it sucks.
It sucks. Sets women back 50 years.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one little bit, and I think I mentioned it maybe in our Whistler recap, but one prank that's played for jokes is she's doing yoga because she's got to get in shape for the wedding that's coming up in like 4 weeks. While she's doing a yoga pose, she falls down, reaches off camera, grabs like a chocolate bar and starts eating it. She's like, fuck yoga. And it's like, oh, that's so funny.
Genius.
Oh my God.
Genius.
Yeah, one take. We got it. That's so funny.
Print that shit. Hopefully they shot it on 35mm too.
Oh man, what a shit movie. Yeah. Anyway, number one, Relative Happiness. You'll never see it. You may have never even hear about it.
Number one for me is a film Adrian liked.
I love this film.
Yeah, and I still don't get it. This is the film all last year that angered me the most because there was such talent behind it. My number one is Alan Partridge, a shit Steve Coogan film.
Oh.
Because guess what, folks? We saw a really damn awesome Steve Coogan film, and you saw how funny he was in that film.
Yeah, I thought he was funny in Alan Partridge as well. A lot of people thought he was funny, not just the Victoria crowd, but a lot of film critics online enjoyed it as well.
They're all retarded. But this is the film that absolutely pissed me off the most all last year. I watched this film just stunned at how shit he was in this film, how shit the plot was, how shit everything about this film was. And I was just like, this is supposed to be a comedy?
Oh, and he's like, feck the police.
Oh.
Dude, his teeth, it was so
his
funny.
His teeth were awful. He didn't say he wanted to bury another Batman in it.
No.
Come on.
See, and I mentioned this last one, I'm going to say it again. I think you're mistaking your bottom film for most disappointed,
most angered film.
If I went with the same reasoning you're using, I would put The Hobbit at number one. If I use the same scale you're using.
No. This is the film that pissed me off the most last year, which is pretty bad because I really hate that musical, Canadian musical movie.
Yeah. Well, it's your pick. You do what you want with it.
Yeah.
However wrong you may be.
No, I'm good on this one. I'm feeling pretty solid.
Bill has no soul and no taste in movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's our bottom five of the year.
Avoid all of them. Except for the first 10 minutes of Brick Mansions. That's pretty cool.
There are some cool action scenes in that one. I deleted my list. I wrote 10 down, but I deleted the other five. I'll skip that.
Number six, Step Up All In.
No.
Was that what that one was called?
I can't remember.
Step Up to the Streets. Step Up 3D.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember them all.
Step Up.
I think I saw two of the five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hated them all. I know you're a fan.
I like 2 and 3, and 1 is okay, 4 is pretty bad, and 5 is pretty terrible.
I also wanted to, because I totally forgot the best of show to say that my favorite CD of last year was Death From Above 1979, The Physical World. That CD rules.
Oh, cool.
I love that disc.
Nice.
I listen to that all the time. Such a catchy disc.
Oh, right on. Yeah,
Death From Above 1979.
Nice. I'll have to check
Canadian
it out.
Canadian band, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
They got a pretty nice catalog of music. I like quite like them. Adrian listens to scores.
I listen to soundtracks, and Adrian, I do listen to a lot of Queens of the Stone Age.
Adrian goes to work listening to the John Wick score, wanted to like kick people's ass.
Yeah, that's right. Feeling like a total badass. Yeah. So when I walk in, I'm ready to kick some ass.
You owe me a dog.
That's right. Okay, so I guess we're ready to get into some lightning reviews. So I guess the plan with this one is Bill will talk about movies he's seen, and I'll jump in when I've seen one of them.
I've been a little busier, which is okay. I try to see as much as I can.
So. Yeah.
Film number one, Into the Woods. That was my Christmas, first Christmas movie.
How was that?
It's okay. It's nothing special. It's a musical. They tried to hide the fact that it was a musical. This is a little weird.
Yeah.
Lots of different storylines going on with, like, different fables all kind of combined into one big giant goulash. And it actually kind of works. So I'll give it some credit for that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's a really good movie, but I will give it credit for the multiple storylines all kind of working.
Who would you say is the target audience? Because I couldn't figure that out.
There is no target audience.
Okay.
It's like Maleficent.
Ah, so kids might enjoy it, and adults that haven't fully grown up.
Girls who like musicals might like it.
Okay.
But no, it's a renter.
Yeah.
Or VOD or whatever.
Yeah, I might Redbox it one day.
Yeah.
Cool.
As I said on the last episode, my most underrated film of the year was The Gambler.
Oh, right. You mentioned that.
Mark Wahlberg play a complete degenerate gambler who just constantly gets into a worse situation and he doesn't care.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just him being a piece of crap for an hour and a half. And hey, I loved it.
Nice.
Loved it.
Nice.
I think it's a great film. Yeah. Totally underrated. Nobody's even heard of that film. Every film was sold out on Christmas Day except for The Gambler.
Oh, really?
There's like 30 people there.
Oh, man.
And I thought, this movie is so damn good. People need to see it. It's very gritty, and I love it. And I know you haven't seen it, so I hope you get the chance to see it. The Interview.
Oh, yes, that's right, which just hit Netflix.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know some friends who saw it on Netflix and were like, I finally got to see The Interview. I'm like, dude, that's like so 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's old news.
Totally.
I thought it was funny.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
It has its moments. I liked James Franco's kind of balls to the walls performance. I think he's really good in it.
Yeah, yeah. He plays the dummy really well.
Yeah, he is really dumb in it. And the first 5 minutes of the film with Eminem.
Oh, yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, how did they get him to do that scene?
Well, I'm sure.
With a straight face.
I'm sure he was down with it the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's nowhere near as bad as everybody sort of made it out to be.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a stupid film.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
It's his moments. And stay all the way through the credits. There's a really amazing credit cookie at the end. It's like 2 seconds long.
And it's awesome.
And I'm laughing just thinking about it.
I know, me too.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Interview. Selma.
Oh, man.
Which was on both of our top tens?
Yeah, it was, I think, my number seven, your six, or
something like
the
that.
Other way around.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the real deal. Kind of got the shaft at the Oscars.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I guess I can't see it now.
Yeah. Way to go nominated for Best Picture, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't understand how that works, but fuck the Oscars.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the real deal. Everything about it's great. David Oyelowo. Oyelowo?
Yeah.
Good on you, sir.
Yeah.
Good on you.
I practiced.
Nice. He's amazing.
He is amazing. He's yeah. How many movies was he been in recently? He's been in a few. He was in A Most Violent Year.
Yeah.
He was in Selma. And he was in something
was
else.
Was he in Interstellar?
Yeah, he was the teacher. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the shit in this film, man. Everything you've heard about him. He's the real deal.
He's the real deal. DuVernay is the real deal.
Yeah, Ava DuVernay is an amazing director, too. Her first film, Middle of Nowhere, just came out on DVD. It's like 2 or 3 years old, and it never hit anywhere near here, so I never got to see it legally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wink, wink. it finally hit DVD. That's also a really damn good film. So see Selma. It's important filmmaking.
It is.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
As I said, both of our top tens.
I fully agree. And I did look into it. Spielberg owns the rights to all of Martin Luther King's speeches.
Wow.
So all of the speeches he delivers in this film, Selma, are slightly altered or completely rewritten. And it sounds authentic as hell. It is an outstanding film.
Yeah. That still shocks me.
Yeah.
Those should be public domain.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But yeah, DreamWorks owns it, which of course is Spielberg's ballpark.
If like a 4-year-old wants to include that in their book report, they should be able to. Not to like clear it with DreamWorks.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Amazing film and doesn't pull any punches. I mentioned in our best films of 2014, it's like Michael Haneke would be so proud of this film.
Like 5 minutes into the film, you would be like, can I like pause this for a sec? I gotta like recoup.
Yeah.
Because it is hardcore.
It is devastating right off the bat. And then it just keeps getting worse and just keeps, well, I don't know about worse, but it gets brutal.
Yeah.
It gets like the beatings, the treatment of the black people in the movie, all just feels so authentic. And you're going, man, these people, this is like, how long ago? Not that long ago. This is yesterday for all intents and purposes.
Don't let the content scare you away.
Yeah.
It's essential.
Essential filmmaking. A story that needs to be told.
American Sniper.
Oh, yes.
See, we got to see this before all the shit went down.
Yeah, before it took over the entire world.
Like we saw this a good 2 weeks before it opened. So I didn't have a clue about the film or the book. You'd read the book, so you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think because I didn't know anything about it, it was like Foxcatcher. Lots of people didn't know about it, and it really affected them. I think I like this movie more because I knew nothing about it, and the whole idea of the ending really got to me.
Yeah.
And then it became like a big hot red button issue in the U.S. And everything I've heard all the U.S. people talk about, I didn't really get that from this film.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, it's based on a true story, but you have to remember we're talking about a movie that's being adapted for the big screen. So things are going to be changed. Things are going to be added. And I did read the book before I saw this, and it's one of the very few times in my life I've ever done that. But I was still fine with it. I enjoyed the movie. Bradley Cooper, he's a terrific actor. I don't know if he's the best actor of the year, but I thought he did a fine job.
The idea of somebody being a mass murderer because they're a sniper in a war, that's weird.
It is.
He's doing a job,
mm-hmm.
and people in the media all of a sudden are using it to push an agenda. It's just a movie, people.
Yeah, exactly.
Just watch the film. It's a pretty watchable film.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, Bradley Cooper's pretty good. Sienna Miller. I thought it was a good film.
Yeah.
But I don't really have any like weird thoughts about it. Like I watched it as a film.
Yeah.
So just watch it as a film.
It's not a documentary.
No, it's a piece of fiction pretty much, because even though it had like, it was around a book, what you told me, it sounds like a piece of fiction.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's not a bad film.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Going with an open mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of, in terms of some of the praise or lack of praise from some people, it's going to draw obvious comparisons to Lone Survivor, the Marcus Luttrell book.
A better film, too.
Yeah, and actually those two guys trained together in the SEAL training, which was interesting. I was curious if he would show up in this one, but I'm kind of glad they didn't include him because that would have been distracting. But yeah, it's a fine movie. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I watched it on the big screen. And had some really cool sniper moments. Who doesn't enjoy a good sniper moment?
Featuring the worst fake baby I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was even worse than the Twilight baby. Plastic baby with some CGI.
Fingers.
Fingers.
Oof.
And I think the hand moved.
Yeah.
But Bradley Cooper moved the hand for the baby. It's just so weird.
Yeah, that was awful. Yeah, American Sniper. Love is Strange.
Oh, yes. I've been meaning to watch this.
Two older gay men who have been together for many years finally decide to get married. And one of them's job, because he works as a piano teacher at a church, a school, whatever they're called, gets fired because you can't be a gay teacher at a church school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about them losing their place and their family having to step up and care for them. And it's really beautiful.
Cool.
Just the way, like, the family reacts and the dynamic of the relationship of the two men. And I love that film.
Sweet. It's
also very underrated.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about that.
Yeah. A friend of mine actually just watched that recently, and she's like, I may be dehydrated after this film is over.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
I think it's out on DVD and Blu-ray pretty quick, so.
Yeah, and it's on demand right now, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I looked it up on iTunes.
Oh, nice. If you listen to the Best of Show, you know that my number three film of last year was Inherent Vice.
Oh, yeah.
So before I say anything, Adrian's got a confession about Inherent Vice.
What do you mean a confession? That it would have been ranked higher for me?
Yes.
Okay, so after a second time of watching Inherent Vice, man, did that movie ever improve for me. I ranked it number 5 for 2014. Truthfully, it should probably be my number 2 or my number 3, but we already recorded that episode.
It's a dense film.
Really dense, really heavy. And
I recognize the masterpieceness of it, if that's a word, masterpieceness.
Oh, yeah, we just made it, yeah.
And, yeah, totally. I recognized it the first time I watched it, but that, I also, after watching it, was like, what? I named it number 3. Should that be number 2?
Yeah, yeah. I guess you'll find out soon.
And that movie is so damn good. I said on the Best of Show that I think it's my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film, and that is no lie.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And we live in a really shitty film city. That film lasted 2 weeks here.
Totally, yeah.
I was like, what? Come on, I want to see that movie another 3 times.
Yeah, yeah, what a shame. Hopefully CineCenter will get it, or The Vic.
Somebody.
Yeah.
I want to watch it again.
Yeah, on the big screen. Because
you saw it again.
I did. And it got even better my second viewing. Yeah. It's amazing, amazing stuff. Like the soundtrack, the overall kind of trip you go on while watching the film. Because that's what it really is. It's a trip. And there's all kinds of discussions you can have on the characters. Who's real, who's not real. I told you a couple of ideas Kyle had in mind. And I was like, you know what?
Kyle's got some enemy thoughts on this film. Eh?
Yeah, like a lot of people will watch. That's the thing with filmmaking and watching films is you sometimes have to question what's real and what's on the screen and what's reality in that world. And there's some things in Inherent Vice Kyle thinks are all in his head. And that's all I'm going to say for now. Maybe we'll do a spoiler episode when we talk more about that.
If you want, we can pay you in pirates.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
I love quoting Inherent Vice. Yeah. It is so good.
Yeah, and Brolin has some of the best lines in the whole movie.
Yeah, so check that movie out.
And, it is awesome.
As I said in the Best of Show, watch it, chill for a couple days, then go and check it out again, because second viewing locks a lot of stuff down.
Oh,
and
totally.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, fully agree.
Big Eyes, the new Tim Burton film.
Ooh, that's the one I skipped.
it's not good. Tim Burton being kind of normal is not good. Tim Burton being weird is not good. It's he's lost it. Amy Adams, Christoph Waltz, about who legitimately painted some, who cares? Next.
Yeah.
Paddington.
Oh, yeah. Some critics gave this a pass and kind of gave it huge.
We were talking about that film earlier about the person falling down, like Melissa McCarthy being funny.
Yeah.
This is what Paddington is. He's a bear who falls down a lot, and it's supposed to be funny. I just don't find it funny. I'm the only person who didn't like this film. Everybody loves this film, and I hated it.
Yeah, in the last 3 years, I've been more selective with which movies I see. And because you mentioned that, I was like, well, you know, I think I'll pass on that. And animated films have been pretty garbage the last, at least the last year or so. With your thoughts, I'm like, I don't see that trend changing any.
No. I am the only person who didn't like it, but yeah, skip the hell out of this one. It sucked. Speaking of films that sucked, next three are really terrible. Taken 3.
Oh, no.
I said I wouldn't see it. I saw it. I was bored one day, and I saw a bunch of really crappy films that day, and I texted you, and I'm like, oh, my God, dude. I never want to watch movies again.
I was your therapist for a little while there.
Taken 3. First off, nobody gets taken. That's a bullshit title. Oh,
no way.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Liam Neeson, you know, you've seen the first two. Nothing's new here. Except for he's not really, he's just being chased. It sucks.
Nice.
Yeah. He'll do anything for a paycheck now.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
He's fine. Yeah. I like Liam Neeson. Movie's terrible. Black Hat.
Oh, I skipped that one.
The new Michael Mann film that nobody liked, and there's a reason, because it's awful.
No way.
It's shot on digital, and it looks like it's in the wrong frame rate.
Oh, really?
The picture clips.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's awful. it's like the film isn't finished. There's a scene at the beginning of the film where there's like a news broadcast, and it says stock footage, and then it changes to the news broadcast. It's like they forgot to CGI over the stock footage thing.
No way.
It's terrible. Oh. Everybody looks disinterested. Chris Hemsworth is awful. Michael Mann should be ashamed because we've all seen Collateral, dude.
Yeah, he's awesome.
You invented digital cinema.
He did.
And Collateral is awesome.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Yeah.
It's the first terrible film of the year.
Nice.
This is funny because I've also seen The Wedding Ringer.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Another really bad film. Not as bad as Black Hat, but really bad.
Oh, dude.
Kevin Hart's kind of funny at times, and you keep on thinking, why the hell is the chick from Big Bang Theory going to marry Josh Gad, who is not even playing the same fucking sport as this chick? He is so not in her league.
Yeah.
He's playing polo and she's playing hockey.
Oh, they're not in
the same sport. Nowhere near. She's cute. He's not. You know, you see him a trailer. Grandma gets lit on fire. That's nice. Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Hart has a bunch of groomsmen with him, and they're all a bunch of wacky guys. It's not funny. Josh Gad is not even close to being a leading man. It's terrible. Avoid that one. Dear White People.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It's really good. It was a big Sundance film, which usually is a bad sign. But it's a interesting look at race wars on university campuses.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, it's really well written. It's I wouldn't say it's fun, but it's funny. I liked it quite a bit. Nobody's seen this film.
Yeah.
Check that one out. It's also on VOD now.
Cool.
And the last but not least, Cake.
Ooh. Oh.
Jennifer Aniston and her I need an Oscar film.
Yeah.
Where she plays a woman with chronic body pain, like back pain, neck pain, because she was in a car accident where her kid died.
Oh.
And,
oh, that's so sad.
Oh, totally. And she cries a lot, and she takes a lot of drugs, and she swears a lot.
Oh, no.
I think that's supposed to be her like being like risque or something.
Oh, Rachel, you're so hardcore.
Yeah, she's not wearing any makeup, and she has, like, scars all over her.
Oh, yeah, she's so brave. She went through the, what's her name?
She's not Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. I didn't care. She's, like, the worst bitch character I've seen in a movie in a long time. I fucking hate her. She sucks.
Nice. I love the way you put that.
Yeah.
I never plan on seeing this ever.
No, it's terrible. Avoid that one. That's it for me. I saw a lot of shit.
You did. And Bill does it for the podcast.
I do it for the podcast. Because I'm totally afraid we're going to start recording and AJ's be like, I saw nothing. And I'd be like, shit.
Which is me for like the last 2 months.
I know.
I did want to talk about Interstellar. We saw that in IMAX on a 15-70 millimeter print.
Oh,
How good, cool is that?
Good stuff, man.
We saw it at the Museum IMAX here in Victoria, home of the home of the largest screen in BC. And man, that system kicks ass, dude.
Yeah,
that's the way to see it.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was pretty awesome in 4K digital, but yeah, the IMAX print is unreal.
Yeah, and the sound, you know, a lot of people complained about it.
I still had some problems with it.
I didn't, because there were times when they were in the ship and there's rockets going off and you can barely hear them, and that's the way it would have been in the mission. And sure, Michael Caine, he's not the loudest speaker, but I understood him 100% through the whole movie.
And McConaughey is calling people slick.
Oh, yeah, that's right, and he's got this kind of mumbly Texas thing going on. I enjoyed it. I thought it got better after a second viewing.
I love Interstellar.
Yeah.
And that is the definitive presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing will ever be better than that.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing presentation. Beautiful sound. And, you know, I still tip my hat to Christopher Nolan and Jonathan Nolan for delivering a movie that is probably their most human movie. I don't think that's their goal, is to, whenever they make a movie, a lot of people complain about how cold his movies are and how robotic and scientific they are. I don't really want to comment on that. I just think they're telling different kinds of stories. But with this one, they added a lot of human elements, human emotions, and each one hit for me. Like, I was absolutely devastated during some scenes, just tears streaming down my face.
Dude, ballsy sci-fi.
Yeah, totally.
That's pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah.
And he just keeps on putting them out.
Yeah, he's doing whatever he wants, and it's awesome.
Yeah. I love Interstellar. It was like my number 11 film of last year.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cool.
I thought it was even better the second time, too.
Yeah. I have a thought, and this is kind of, well, not really that spoilery. If you've seen the film or seen a trailer, you know there's robots in the movie. Part of me wonders if the two main robots in the film are Chris Nolan and Jonathan Nolan. They kind of play off each other. One is funny, one is not funny. one doesn't talk much, one talks a lot. I think there's something there. I think one could be Chris Nolan, one could be John Nolan, but that's just a weird theory I have. I'd have to watch it again.
And you said I have some weird theories.
Well, I think that a lot of filmmakers put themselves in their movies, whether it's, you know, a bit part, like M. Night Shyamalan, or, you know, dude, Woody Allen.
That's cool about films, man. Everybody's got their own ideas, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah. So that's, I guess that's our lightning round.
Nice.
You want to talk about upcoming films?
Yeah. So January 30th, Black or White, the new Mike Binder film with Kevin Costner about race relations.
Okay.
It's a good trailer.
I haven't heard of it.
Supposedly it's going wide. So
cool. We'll see that.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Project Alamac.
Haven't heard of it.
bunch of kids build a time machine and go back in time and do weird shit.
Oh.
Supposedly they go to like Lollapalooza or something, I heard about.
What?
And of course, stuff goes bad because they've all seen Primer, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Young adult.
Could be a disaster.
Yeah, might skip it. February the 6th, Jupiter Ascending.
That's right.
Finally.
Finally.
Finally. Is this movie going to be good?
I hope so.
I really hope so.
I love the Wachowskis. I enjoy what they do with their films. Cloud Atlas was my favorite film of that year. And man, I've got high hopes for this one, but it got pushed back. When was it supposed to come out? Like September of last year?
Yeah.
During the, you know, prestige season. And it gets pushed back to February, which is typically a resting place for films that are pretty bad. Not always, but...
And I watched that trailer, and I'm like, wow, there's a really good chance this might not be good.
Yeah, a little wacky creature.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Eddie Redmayne in that trailer where he just sort of like mumbles and like
yeah.
grabs his forehead every time he talks.
And yeah.
It's like, oh, this looks really bad.
A lot of people have said that they shouldn't have included him in the trailer.
No, he's going for an Oscar. And people are like, this might be his Norbit. Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah. Okay, what else we got?
Seventh Son.
Oh, is that the Big Lebowski guy?
Yeah, Jeff Bridges.
That's right.
And this movie was shot a while ago, and it's been delayed forever.
Has it been more than a year?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's like he's like some sort of warrior, and every generation there's a Buffy.
Okay.
And
yeah.
The new guy is a Buffy, and he's like the new Slayer or something. I don't know. I like Buffy.
Yeah.
Trailer did nothing for me.
Yeah, same here.
Young adult, once again.
Yeah.
Probably won't see it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add those to my veto list. I just can't think of any young adult films that I really go, oh man, that was awesome.
Chronicle.
Okay, Chronicle, yeah. Okay. I can get with that.
SpongeBob SquarePants, the movie. Sponge out of water.
Oh, okay. What else is playing
next? February 13th for all the ladies
and me
and Adrian. 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I heard they're gonna put towels on every seat nice. On opening night. Nice. It's just a rumor I've heard.
I've read the first book. I had to read it because everybody was talking about it at work, and I was like, just give me the damn book. I'll read on my breaks. I want to know what this is about. And yeah. It's terrible.
Oh, brutal.
Terrible. It's not even really that hot. And I saw the two leads on the Golden Globes, and they have no chemistry at all.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be really... It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Oh, no. I saw the runtime. I was like, oh, come on. I'll probably still see it.
Yeah.
Why not? For the podcast.
Yeah, it's for you.
Wink, wink. But the big movie of the month, Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Yeah, they got huge reviews out of Butnumathon.
Dude, I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Looks great.
I have to admit, I still can't generate any interest for it, but I'll see it. Yeah.
Oh, I think it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like a James Bond, but for real people.
Yeah. The new kids, the parkour kids, I guess. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. With, Colin Firth being very dapper.
Oh,
and he has cigarette lighter grenades.
That's right. Yeah. Apparently, yeah, they played Butnumathon and everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Even, you know, a lot of people I trust. So, yeah, sign me up. I'll see it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. And that's about it.
Nice. So we'll be talking about that on the next episode.
We have a film festival in that starting on, I think, February 6th.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's coming up quick.
The Victoria Film Festival, our local film festival.
Yeah, and they've booked some pretty cool stuff this year.
We've just already seen it all.
Yeah. The Look of Silence, though, we haven't seen.
Oh.
The follow-up to...
that was my film last year.
The Act of Killing.
I didn't get to see.
Yeah.
And I was pissed.
And it played Fantastic Fest, but it was...
played a festival
out of that. It was only playing for Alliance members.
Yep.
So if you were part of the Drafthouse Alliance, you're
part of the cool kids.
The cool kids.
I wasn't.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited for that one. They're playing The Tribe... They're playing Wild Tales, which I didn't see.
Oh, you're going to love that one, man.
Yeah. What else are they playing? It Follows is awesome.
It Follows is awesome.
Oh.
A really awesome little indie film called The Infinite Man.
Okay.
Which I really loved.
Nice.
Another really good film called Phoenix that I really liked. They got some good films. I've just seen them all.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch a bunch of them again because I really liked them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Got no problem with that.
Yeah.
And if you're in Canada, Cineplex is having their yearly digital film festival. And it starts on January 30th. And there's 5 films a day. And on January 30th, I'm going to watch all 5 films.
Wicked. You buy your tickets.
Because, yeah, I'm getting ready for my 24-hour movie marathon by watching, like, 12 hours of film.
Yeah. What are you seeing that day?
Dick Tracy.
Nice.
Haven't seen it probably since it came out. Don't remember too much. Okay.
Let's do it.
The Rocketeer. Haven't seen that in a very long time.
Yeah.
Liked it as a kid. Monster Squad, which I've heard does not age very well.
It does not.
But I will watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Blade Runner Final Cut.
Sweet. Yeah. That's a classic.
I love Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And Darkman.
Oh, wicked.
Because I haven't seen that in a very long time. Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it as a kid.
Yeah, same here.
A bunch of these films I loved as a kid. And I know what happened when I rewatched Goonies. I hated Goonies.
Oh, yeah. Don't go watch Goonies if you have fond memories of that. Just hold on to those.
But yeah, they're showing a bunch of films. They're like playing all the X-Men movies, Hellboy, Alien, Aliens, Pan's Labyrinth, Kill Bill 1 and 2. Yeah. I don't really want to see a bunch of them, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the way my schedule works, I'm probably going to see Alien and Aliens, Kill Bill 1 and 2, and probably a couple of the ones you're going to see, so I'm excited.
You're going to see Blade Runner?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Love that film.
Yeah, but I think that's about it for the month for us.
Cool.
We're going to have a action-packed show next time with the festival, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a few things will be a rehash. We'll keep those short, but we'll focus on stuff that's new.
Spoiler alert. The Tribe is really good.
It's awesome. Yeah. I guess we should probably tell people where they can find us. Where can they find you online, Bill?
I'm at Twitter, at SoundJam69, and Adrian's not on Twitter anymore.
Well, I'm on a Twitter hiatus. If you look me up, I'm at Adrian_Charlie. My last post is me explaining in greater detail why I'm taking a Twitter hiatus. I'll probably be back in about 2 weeks in time for Victoria Film Festival. And I'm going to be unfollowing a lot of people and just going in, realizing that, hey, maybe a few people do read my stuff and... I just have to deal with the fact that I don't get a lot of responses from things I post, which...
To quote Eric Cartman, get the sand out of your vagina.
Yeah, right, dude. Oh,
yeah, dude, social media sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
And our Twitter account, the Green Screen of Death, what is it? @the_green_screen. We do post a few things here and there, mostly just links for our show, a few Instagram pictures. We're also on Instagram, The Green Screen of Death, no spaces. We're also on Facebook. You can find us, The Green Screen of Death. If you are listening to us on your mobile device or web browser, we have other venues you can reach us. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and any other platform you can find. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Throw us a rating and comment if you like. That helps us find a wider audience, and we really appreciate that.
We are not on SoundCloud.
No, we are not there. No SoundCloud for us.
Nope.
Anything else to add before we go?
Have a good month.
Have a good month.
I hope this show worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope. Fingers crossed. I am crapping my pants.
Yeah, as we said before, you have no idea how bad those couple of days were when we found out all this shit went wrong.
Yeah, and it took me about 6 to 7 hours to repair the last episode.
And the fact that that last episode even got out, because you wanted to re-record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But shout out to Marina for... helping us out, giving us some feedback, some external feedback. So thank you for that.
She agreed with my list too.
That's right.
Shit's definitive. Tight.
That's right. And Bill is on his 8th beer right now. I'm just kidding.
By the way, the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, I gave Adrian a glass of water in a Detroit Red Wings cup tonight. And he was like, what the fuck?
What an asshole. Give me a Red Wings cup. I'll post it on our Twitter account.
Hell yeah.
Or Red Facebook.
Wings. Go Red Wings.
That's funny, man. That made me laugh. All right. So until next time, I guess it'll be maybe two or three weeks before you hear from us. We'll be here back with Victoria Film Fest and some other stuff as well. So thanks very much for listening. Have a good night.
Peace.